The king, we are not saying.
Now, look at that.
Look,
that means all his dealings with us,
we
don't have to first of all feel it. We don't have to first of all see it. But we believe it. I said we believe it. I don't have to feel it. The Holy Ghost is in me. I don't have to feel it. The Holy Ghost is in me. Lift your hands. Said the Holy Ghost is in me. Jesus said it. I believe it. It is true. Can you shout hallelujah to that?
Hallelujah. The king we did not see.
And the rich your way.
And we are seeing his dealings.
That shows you something. Do you know that? The word God. The very idea of God is an unseen fact. Now, that means that our Christian life is built on unseen realities. Our Christian life is built on the supernatural. How can you say you believe in God and you don't believe in the supernatural? That is contradiction. Because the very fact of God is the supernatural. So when I say the word of God says, I'm referring to the supernatural. When I say God says, I'm referring to the supernatural. So listen well. The Holy Ghost is in me. I don't have to feel it, but I can feel it eventually. But first of all, I'll need to believe that whatever God says, it is true. Even as a believer, you don't look for your evidence as a Christian by feeling it. Satan will mess up your mind if you want to be feeling it, because your feelings can change. So the first thing you have to do is to believe it. Say, I believe it. That settles it. I believe it. That settles it. How do I know I'm born again? The word of God says so. How do I know I'm a child of God? The word of God says so. How do I know I'm saved? The word of God says so. It's not how I feel. It's not how I feel. You know, when I got born again, a few days ago, you know, as I responded to the altar call and got born again, you know, I was feeling really born again. You know, there's a way you can feel born again. So when I was going out of the church, I was looking at the sinful world. I was feeling born again. In less than 3 hours, the feeling left. Every feeling left. By the evening of that day, when they gave altar call again, I came out because the feeling had gone. So every time I kept coming out, until one day I sat down under a tree. I said, what's all this now? I'm not feeling born again. You don't have to feel born again. You should know what God says. I am who he says I am. I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. Settle that in your heart first. So Satan will not mess up your mind. Settle that in your heart first. So that Satan will not mess up your mind. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you." He didn't say feel it. He said observe it. How do you observe it? It's by believing what he has said. I believe God's word over every other evidence. I believe God's word over anything I feel. I feel like sharing this story with you. A few years ago, about 32 years actually, I was diagnosed with a condition. And they gave me barely 6 months to live. Interestingly, the man who diagnosed it. No, could you, mommy, sir? The man who diagnosed it was a very doctor who was present when I was born. Was my dad's friend. So he said, well, this thing, and he, as he was saying it, my dad was there, my mom was there. He said, look, this thing, the way it is, you know, and all that. He said, 6 months, you know, and all that. That's what he said. So I had to be taking drugs. I was taking drugs 7 a.m. every morning. Some very, very bitter things.
They were very, very bitter.
I would take it every morning in the afternoon. Do you know all I heard was a song by Domwe? I didn't even know exactly where the verse was. You are the Lord that he let me. I just took those words. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I am healed. Do you know that I was still feeling the pain? Do you know I still took the medication? I didn't know when the pain was gone. I was now so conscious of singing the song and the words. This is 32 years. I'm here. I've been preaching the gospel since then. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's not even where I'm going to. A few years after that, I had something in my body really funny. I was already much in the ministry pastoring, actually, year 2000. Been pastoring and all that. And I normally do medical checkup. I tell people, Jesus washed your sins. He didn't wash your brains. Let me say that again. Jesus washed your sins. He didn't wash your brains. There's nothing wrong in doing medical checkup. It's not unbelief. So I went to check. And then the doctor said, well, we have to manage this one for the rest of your life. Another thing entirely. He said, because of the way it is, you'll have to be doing this and doing that. Another thing entirely, every day. I just laughed. Do you know why I laughed? Because I had seen it before. So I said, I'm going to be okay. The man looked at me. He said, you don't know what I'm saying. I said, no, you are the one that doesn't know what I'm saying. I've seen it before. Something about the miraculous is this. When you have seen it, it gives you the confidence for another one. I told the man boldly. I said, doctor, I'll be back in 2 weeks. What did I do? I just took the word of God. I kept meditating upon it. I didn't go to take any new thing. The same things I had known. Put it to work. I believe I receive. Mark 11:23. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, I shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things that you say will come to pass. You shall have whatever you say. Therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I raised my hand. I believe I receive my healing in the name of Jesus. I didn't go back in 2 weeks. I stayed longer. Just took time,
on the word of God. I didn't care how I was feeling. I just spoke out God's word. I remember one person, medical doctor, she's one of our pastors. She was a bit, pastor, I said, don't worry. I've seen this before. I believe God. And I believe God. I'm not feeling that way. But I believe God. So I went to the hospital. I think about 4 or 5 weeks after. They did all their checks. Now, something that day was this. I was ready for them to say it is still there. That in case they say it is still there, I will still say the same thing I told the man. I will be fine. I was ready to stay with the word of God. Whatever circumstance, that if they come back again with the same report, it will not change what I believe. So I saw them going in and out. Came out. I sat down a few hours. And then the man said, I think we made a mistake. Maybe the first one was wrong. I said, it is not a mistake. It is a miracle. Don't call it a mistake. Me, I know what happened. It is called Ise Yadu. It is a miracle. Now listen very well. It's not how you feel. It is what you believe. I believe God. Whether I feel it or not, I believe God. I believe God that the Holy Ghost lives in me. I believe God that the Holy Ghost lives in me. I believe God that the Holy Ghost lives in me. You know, sometimes you wake up and you don't feel like you are born again. Somebody called me on the phone. He said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I'm not feeling saved. I said, when I finish praying for you, you will now pray for me too. He said, why? Because we feel the same way. So the person had enough sense to tell me not to pray again. I said, simply believe God's word. Whatever God says is true. No matter how you feel, whatever God says is true. If he says he has given you the Holy Ghost, he has given you the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Paul says, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells amongst you? Know ye not? So imagine if we come to this place now as the church and we say, Holy Spirit, come down. Please, from where? When God told you where two or three are gathered, I am there. What kind of prayer are you praying again? What you will say is this: Father, I thank you for giving us your Spirit. We now cooperate with the power of your Holy Spirit. How will you say, let the Spirit of the Lord come down, Latibo? From where? We are the church of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here. Do you believe that? We don't need a song for that, though. No. When we are singing, we are only cooperating with the fact that the Holy Ghost is here. So, whether I feel it or not, God's word is supreme. Above whatever I think, above whatever I feel. So, number one, I believe God's word. Jesus Christ is here. The power of God is here. Is anybody like that with me tonight? I believe God's word. The Spirit of God is here. I believe God's word. Christ is in me. Colossians 1:27. Paul says Christ among you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Do you believe that? Can you shout hallelujah? Are you here?
So the Holy Ghost is in me. So I don't ask for what God has given. I receive what he has given. Now, come here there, brother. Because you are wearing green. Green is one of my favorite colors. That's why I called you. Now, if I give you this Bible, then you are not asking me. Say, can I have your Bible?
Can I have your Bible?
Now, is this humility or unbelief?
Please,
give me back my Bible anyway. That's not humility. Humility is to say what God says. Humility is to accept what God says. He has given you the Spirit. I will pray the Father. He will give you another comfort. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Whom the world cannot receive. Why? Why? They cannot see him. But you know. Because he dwells with you. And shall be in you. So, do we need to see? We just need to know. Say, I know. Say, I know. So, what do I know? I know the Holy Ghost is with me. When Jesus said, because I live, you live also. He was talking about his Spirit. He has given us his Spirit. He said, the world will not see me, but you will see me. How will the world not see him? And we will see him. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. We accept the word of God over any evidence. We accept the word of God over any evidence. Let God be true. Let God be true and every man a liar. So I know. I know. I know the Holy Ghost is working with me. Now to do what? Let me say a few things. Number one, the Holy Spirit is the proof of my sonship. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Look at verse 15. Romans chapter 8. But we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba Father. Anyone like that this morning, you say, Father, Father. Hallelujah. Say, we have received the spirit of adoption. Hereby we cry, Abba Father. Verse 16. Say, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. So I am a son of God. The Bible says it. I believe it. I am a son of God because the Holy Ghost is in me. If you believe that, can you shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
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 Look at that verse 14. As many as are led by prophets. Oh, is that not in your Bible? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So I say, I'm a son of God. I am led by the Spirit of God. I am led by the Spirit of God. Somebody came to me for counseling. I think it was 21 years ago. And he said to me, I just finished teaching them. You know, people sometimes forget what you are teaching. And he came to me. He said, sir, I don't know what to do. I said, go back. When you know what to do, come and talk to me. He came back again. He said, sir, like I was saying, I don't know what to do. I said, I heard you the first time. Go back. When you know what to do, let us talk. The third time, I think he has some sense now. He said, sir,
I know what to do. I said, now let us talk. Don't start from unbelief. Start from faith. Even if you don't feel like it, say what God is saying. You are led by the Spirit of God. You are led by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They will follow it. I therefore say, I know the voice of God. I know the voice of the Good Shepherd. Even when I'm feeling confused, I will put the word of God first place. I will put the word of God first place. If God says it, I believe it, then that settles it. Because when it comes to the life of faith, I will say it before I see it. God said, let there be light. Then he saw the light. What did he do first? He did the speaking. So I'll put the word of God first. I'll say I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'll say I'm led by the Spirit of God. I am not confused. 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 You know, as you are saying that, your mind is saying, Shoshosha. So sure, but you say no in the name of Jesus. I am led by the Spirit of God. Look at John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I follow Jesus. I don't walk in darkness. I have the light of life. I have the light of life. I have the light of life. All my decisions, I hear God. I hear him clearly. I am led by the Spirit of God. I am led by the Spirit of God. What did he say? No. I am with you always. I am with you always. So I dare say. I dare say. I dare say. I dare say. Mo fi igboya so pe I dare say I am not confused, which means when my mind is working something, I believe the word of God. The Holy Ghost is leading me. The Holy Ghost is guiding me. So no prophet will come and I love prophets. I believe in the ministry of prophets. But you know, there are some prophets and some prophets like that. Let me share a small story with you. There was this lady. She was in our ministry then. She's still very much in our ministry somehow. So she now got this woman who used to say something and it will come to pass. So the woman will say things and come to pass. So she'll come to me and tell me, and she said this, it came to pass. And I said to her, I said, well, are you not led by the Spirit of God? But somehow she was carried away. She was carried away. So things that happened in her life, as she saw it, she saw that that person was actually misleading her. But she didn't tell me. So one day, she was traveling from one city to Lagos. So the woman was there. The woman was actually her mother-in-law. So the woman said to her, don't go to Lagos. If you go to Lagos, then I see blood. I see blood. And all of that. She said, no, I don't see blood. I don't see blood. I see a church service. And I will attend the church service. And I'll come back. The woman now called people, neighbors. Warn this lady what I am seeing. She stood her ground. She said, I'm led by the Spirit of God. She never told me. She came for the service and went back. That was how she broke that hold forever. That was how she broke that hold forever. 1995 or so. I came to preach somewhere in Ibadan, from Lagos. So I was supposed to stay over the weekend. So a man just walked up to me. I finished preaching my sermon. And I said to him that God told me I should not travel for 3 months. Me that I am professional and rikajabata. I used to travel a lot around Nigeria to preach. He said 3 months, I was staying in Ibadan. I was pastoring in Lagos. So I just smiled. I said, I've heard you. I was planning to leave for Lagos on Saturday. But I said no. I want to disprove this nonsense. So I just went to Lagos. Got to Oshodi. Took another bus back to Ibadan. Satan cannot scare me. I am led by the Spirit of God. I am led by the Spirit of God. I am led by the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus, any form of hold over your mind, bringing confusion and bondage, is gone. It's gone. You are led by the Spirit of God. You are not confused. The Spirit of God is leading you, and you will not walk in darkness. Now, I'm not talking about positive confession. I'm saying, what is the word of God saying? I believe the word of God, and I put it above any other evidence in the name of Jesus. What else does the Holy Ghost do? The Holy Ghost builds my character. Galatians 5:16. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then in verse 22, it mentions the fruit of the Spirit. It mentions love, joy, gentleness, patience, meekness, faith, long suffering. He said, against this there is no law. So I say, the fruit of the Spirit is in my life. The fruit of the Spirit is in my life. Now, listen to this. I don't say this. That's how I've always been. Go and ask my mother. That's how I've always been. No, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Somebody say, you know, they found out that some people have character, different personality. They said there's something called phlegmatic. There's something called choleric. There's melancholy. Then we have sanguine. I call it this is a very, very, very interesting. I mean, in fact, I'm just hearing this for the first time. I'm going to take him with me, so I'm just have to take it with you. You are probably going to go. This is interesting, you know. And some Christians have accepted that.
I want Christianity because it is by
I know very well, Reverend. You must counsel people in marriage, and you say, you know me, I'm a sanguine. The wife will say, me and melancholy. That's why we are always arguing. When they come to you like that, tell them to say the sinner's prayer again. So that they can become born again. Because in Christ Jesus, we don't have melancholy. We don't have sanguine. Don't look for excuse for bad manners. The Holy Ghost is in you. You just need to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, there was a man who came to me in Lagos then. I think it was about 95 or 4. He said, sir, I need gentleness. He said, patience to handle my wife. You know, there's a song like that by Ebenezer Obey. Suru la vin choko obiri akatoni suru ongbogboloni.
Ebenezer Obey lo so pe it is with patience that you handle a woman.
Now, what about the man? Let's leave that for some other time. So he now told me, come and pray for me. To have patience. To have patience with my wife. I said, sir, when did you get born again? I think he said August
1968.
I said that day was the day you got patience. That's the day you got all the patience you need. You will need to grow in it. You will need to acknowledge it. I said, shall I tell you something, sir? You are just being carnally minded. That's what it is. Put your mind on the Spirit of God. You have patience already. It is the fruit of the Holy Ghost living in you. Walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Don't say, that's how I've always been. A Christian say that. No, I don't need to ask of you from your house. I need to show you who you are from God's word. James chapter 1 verse 21, it says, laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save the soul. He said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. He said, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is likened unto a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, straight away he goes his way and forgets the manner of man he was. He forgot what he saw. He said, but whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues to look, not being a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this same man is blessed in his deed. So how do I walk in the Spirit? God's word. I keep feeding on the word of God. I'll say the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. I therefore say, I can walk in love. Ephesians 5:1. He says, be ye imitators of God as dear children, walk in love. I therefore say, the Spirit of God is in me, I walk in love. You don't need anger management classes. You just need to feed on the word of God. You don't need anger management classes. You don't need therapy. You need to feed on the word of God. I am led by the Spirit of God. I am not led by the flesh. Anger is in the past tense of my life. Anger is in the past tense of my life. Immorality is in the past tense of my life. It's the past tense of my life. The flesh is the past tense of my life. I am led by the Spirit of God. I am born by the Spirit of God. And I walk by the Spirit of God. If you believe that, can you shout hallelujah? Listen very well. Do you know that unbelievers do anger management? Do you know that there are some tribes that they actually culture themselves to live moral lives, but they don't believe the gospel? They don't believe in Jesus. That is not the kind of works we are talking about. That is self-righteousness. What we are saying here is this. God will help you to live above the flesh. God is the one helping you to live above the flesh. So he gave you the Spirit so that you can walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? Look at God's word. I believe God. I believe God. The flesh does not have dominion over me. I am born of the Spirit of God. I am born of the Spirit of God. You feed on that. Feed on that. Meditate upon it. Day and night. Psalm 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the castle of the ungodly, sits in the seat of the scorners, standing in the way of sinners. He said his delight is in the law of the Lord. In this law does he meditate night and day? No, I thought I saw it. He meditates once every Sunday. Is it once every week?
No.
Twice every week?
No, sir.
Okay, three times every week?
No.
Day and night. Day and night. He said, it shall be like a tree planted in the streams of water. He will bring forth fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. But how does he do it? He will delight in the word. He will meditate night and day. Some people want to be strong Christians. All they want to feed on is what we call microwave sermons. 30-minute sermon. Two scriptures. If those scriptures have no connection, and that's all you will hear on Sunday, the same Sunday you went to watch movie, the whole Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you now come back again on the same Sunday, 30 minutes. I don't call that sermons. I call that gist. That's not teaching, that's gisting. That's gisting. He says you must meditate day and night. Day and night. Somebody came to me years back. Said, Pastor, I'm struggling with the flesh. I have temptations. So I was in his house. So I saw that those were the days of CD.
Cassettes.
You see a mountain of like Gibraltar of tapes, cassettes.
Mo wa ri awon cassette to da gangan.
James Bond, Indiana Jones, all these ones. Yeah. I said, no, it's not just the flesh. You are living with the flesh. You are living with it. This is his meal. You are taking his food. Then you see his Bible. You know all those Bibles are very neat. They still have case. How is your Bible still having case? Are you burying it? Your Bible still has case. Neat case. You have a Bible, you don't use biro on it. You have not marked anywhere. You have not shaded a part. No part is tearing apart. Oh boy, the flesh just started. To walk in the Spirit, you will feed on the word of God. Night and day. Night and day. Night and day. That means what you listen to the most is the word of God. That is how you are led by the Spirit of God. If you leave this service now, and you say, I'm led by the Spirit of God, I'm led by the Spirit of God, then you go home and you slot in a Burna Boy. Burna Boy. I play Davido.
Whiskey.
And then when you are done with that, Unfortunately, you now go and watch a Chelsea game again. Sorry for that. That one had to come out one way or the other. So you now go and watch movie. That means that what you said in the service, you don't believe it. Because if you believe it, you act upon it. If you believe it, you act upon it. When you see I'm led by the Spirit of God, it means that the Word of God is first place in my life. It means the Word of God is first place in my life. So you are led by the Spirit of God. You can walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? How are you led by the Spirit of God? You will feed on the Word of God. The third one, the Holy Ghost also mean you can minister to people by the Holy Spirit. I'll close on that one. You can minister to people by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost empowers us to minister to others. Now, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 8, from verse 4, actually, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, not many days hence you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He said in verse 4, actually, he said, wait for the promise of the Father which you have heard of me. He said, John the Baptist now indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So those people came to him. In verse 6, they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom again to Israel? Which one are we saying? Which one are you saying? And we you know, that shows you that even Jesus, after teaching people for 40 days, they were still asking funny questions. Who else can teach better than Jesus? Who can pastor better than Jesus? Do you know Jesus pastored a thief? No, Jesus pastored a thief. Thank you very much. He pastored a thief. You know, Judas was a thief. Who was his pastor?
Judas is Carlos.
Who was his pastor?
That
was his pastor. You know, he pastored a doubting person. That was doubting. He pastored somebody who was so angry. In the presence of his pastor, he cut somebody's ear. Jesus was their pastor. He was the one who pastored them. So they asked a very funny question. Would you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Say, it's not for you, but to know the times and seasons which the Father has put his own power, you shall receive power. After with the Holy Ghost has come on you, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea,
Samaria,
and the uttermost part of the earth. Now listen to this. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for speaking in tongues. I am fully charismatic. But you know something? The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is evangelism. The main purpose of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is to preach the gospel. So God gave us his Spirit so that we can be his witnesses, so that we can take his word to the world, so that we can take his word to the world. Look at John 20 verse 22. Jesus came and spoke to them. He breathed on them. He said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Verse 23. Whosoever sins you remit, are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, are retained unto them. But in verse 21,
said,
as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Why did he give us his Spirit? So that we can reach the world. So evangelism is the reason for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So on the day of
Pentecost,
thank God for speaking in tongues. I speak with tongues. You should too. But listen to this. What was the big deal of the day of Pentecost? Acts 2, 1 to 4. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. Verse 3, Acts 2, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and he sat upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But thank God for that. The baptism of the Holy Ghost causes us to speak in other tongues. But there is a primary purpose. What was really the big deal on the day of Pentecost? Acts 2 and verse 41. 3,000 were added to the church. How were they added to the church? It was not by the tongues. They spoke in tongues. But Peter now lifted up his voice and preached the gospel. Why do we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? So that we can preach the gospel. So that we can preach the gospel. Why did God give us his Spirit? So that we can preach his word. So that we can preach the gospel. Number one, I'm led by the Spirit of God. I walk in the Spirit. I minister by the Spirit. I preach the gospel because the Holy Ghost is given to me. Why is God giving us His Spirit? He gave us His Spirit so we can reach the world. So we can reach the lost. So we can take the gospel to the unsaved. So we can take the gospel to those who have not heard the gospel. Listen to what I'm about to say now. Thank God for telecast. Social media. But listen to me. And listen well. God did not send TV to the world. He sent you 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 to the world. Listen. In the time of Jesus, in the time of Paul, they used to write letters. So they also had their own technology. So they would send letters. But those letters are never to replace ministry. No. Never. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Some things are strange today. I'm going to say something. It may look a bit controversial, but it shouldn't be. I always say there are two departments that a church should never have: prayer and evangelism. I'll say it again. There are two departments a church should never have: prayer and evangelism. Because those two ministries are for every believer. There should be no department for it. Now, there's a department for music because it will require talent. It will require talent. There's requirement for TV, all those things. Even usher has skills. But when it comes to evangelism and prayer, It is God who instructed all of us to go. So there should be no department for it. All believers, all believers should be part and parcel of soul winning. I got born again. I got born again. 10:05 on a Sunday. 10:05 in the morning.
Okay, ni ago mewa oko jase ju marun la yoro.
That same day
ni ojo yen kan na
was when I was taught to preach the gospel.
Ojo yen na la ko mi ba se wa fun irere.
Brother Tunde Akande, he took me out.
O fa mi jade.
He said, watch what I'm about to do.
O ni kiesi ni mo be se ni se o.
You are going to do it next.
Iwo ni o kan leyin
temi. It was the day I got born again.
Ojo ti mo da tun bi gangan.
I saw him preach.
Mo ri to wa fun.
I took my friends to where I first preached.
He
said, now it is your turn. And I've been preaching since then.
Hallelujah.
I said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Evangelism is your task. How do I know? Because God gave you His Spirit. So I'm closing like this morning. That the work of the Spirit of God in your life is such that you have to cooperate and yield to God.
He's
leading you. Is building character in you. And he's working in you to reach the lost.
He's
working in you to reach the lost. Today is May 25, I believe.
2024.
Look around this auditorium. If there is nobody who came here because of you, then something is wrong. If there is nobody in this auditorium who came because of you and you have been a Christian for a long time, something is wrong. God gave you a mandate to preach the gospel and make disciples. If you are not doing that, you are living in disobedience. Look around this auditorium again. If there is nobody here who is here because of you, either you led the person to the Lord or you are showing the person the Lord, then something is wrong with your Christian life. Say it very well. So something is wrong with your Christian life. Let me say something quickly. There is no stronger reason to pray than soul winning. The greatest burden of prayer comes from soul winning. If all your prayer life is about, Lord, give me this, give me this, give me that, then there's something wrong with your prayer life. There is a burden of prayer that comes to you because you are involved in evangelism and soul winning. I'm saying it again in this auditorium. If there's nobody here who followed you here and you have been a Christian for a while, something is wrong. This morning, you are going to rededicate your life to that task, that work, and say, Lord, I rededicate my life to the ministry of the gospel. I will walk in obedience. And you will make up your mind and say, this year I will lead so and so number of souls to Christ. I will make up my mind. I will lead souls to Christ. Nobody needs to tell you to do it. It's already written. It's already written. So you obey and you act upon it. Let's stand to our feet. We'll close on this note. Are you here this morning? As a believer, As a believer, you are not yielding or giving yourself to soul winning.
Oh, man, fi ara